ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Krishna, thank you, Nanda Kishore. Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome you very much for this seminar, which is called Seeing Krishna Through the Eyes of His Dear Devotees. It was a long, long, long time, my desire to present such a seminar. And I'm very excited to be able to make this presentation today. I just would like to see if every one of you can hear very nicely, because this is the first day of the seminar. We are still a little experimenting. Sound is all right for English, and Stelbavali is also all right. I mean, you look at me, we're very tired, we can hear? Yes? Good. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi paskatyade sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gobhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before I start my seminar, I would like to tell you a little introductory story through which I believe I can best describe the reason for which I'm giving this seminar. There was once a spiritual master who had several disciples, and they became a little impatient, you could say. They wanted to really have the absolute realization, the enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, but they felt like many of us, dry and not spiritually so inspired. So they all came together, had an Easter Goshti, and afterwards approached their spiritual master and said, Guru Maharaj, please give us the ultimate enlightenment. If you don't give us enlightenment in 3 days, we will leave you and go somewhere else. The spiritual master was very sad that his disciples all of a sudden had become so demanding, it may be even insensitive. And at the same time, he was in a dilemma. So he said, I would like to give you the real enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, but you are not yet ready. Your hearts are still too empty. So the disciple said, you have been telling this to us since 3 or 4 years. Now we will ask you a question. Can you give us enlightenment, yes or no? It was a problem. It was a conflict. So the guru said, all right. I will pose one last test before you. And if you are able to pass this test, I will give you enlightenment. Listen very carefully. I want that you, each one of you, eats a fruit without anybody seeing you. So he took a big basket of fruits, and the guru distributed it to the different disciples. To one he gave a banana, to another an apple, to yet another a mango. The test was clear. The disciples had to eat it without anyone seeing it. So they all went in different parts of the forest, and afterwards they returned, and one brought the banana peel. Here, I have passed the test. No one saw me. One got, this part which remains when you have tried to eat the apple. Here, I have passed the test. The guru received them and said, fine. But one of you is still missing. Gopal Das. Oh, Gopal Das, they thought, Gopal Das, he's a little foolish. But the guru said, I want to see every one of you and then give enlightenment to every one of you. We have to wait until Gopal comes. So they waited for 1 day, for 2 days, and on the third day, Gopal came to the to all these disciples and where the guru was, and he brought his mango back. It was not eaten. He said, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't pass your test. Ha ha ha, said the disciples. Gopal. I tried to find a place where no one would see me. I went into the dark forest. I went to the waterfall, and I even went under the waterfall in the cave, but everywhere were the eyes of God, who saw me. Therefore, I couldn't pass your test to eat this fruit without anybody seeing me. I'm sorry, here, your mango. Can you imagine what this did to the other disciples? They understood for the first time in their life that spiritual life is not something mental, but that spiritual life has to do with deep realizations. And the first realization is to really see Krishna everywhere and understand nothing, absolutely nothing, is separate from Krishna. On that day, they all became humble. They all noticed my faith in Krishna and Krishna's presence everywhere in my life is not deep enough. I still have to practice a little bit more my Krishna conscious practices, and then maybe I can get the ultimate enlightenment. My dear devotees, this story, what has it to do with you? Let me ask you a question. How strong is your vera, your faith, that Krishna is everywhere and that He is behind every aspect of your life? It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that we should approach a learned teacher, a guru. And one verse after this, Krishna describes what we should learn from the guru. Vasudevam sarvam iti. You know Sanskrit. Vasudev or Krishna is everywhere. When you understand that everything is in Krishna, at such a time when your vera, your faith is strong, then you will get very wonderful realizations in Krishna consciousness. So today I would like to start a seminar which can help hopefully all of us to learn to become more absorbed in Krishna. And I thought, instead of talking directly about Lord Krishna, I would and describe Krishna directly to you. I would describe Him indirectly to you. That is, how Krishna at different times revealed Himself to His devotees and how He gave them very important instructions and, you could say, guidelines by which they could live their lives. Now, I hope and believe that if you hear these different encounters with divinity, or this different meetings with Krishna and how Krishna acted within this meeting, that you will prepare yourself also so that you can meet the Lord of your heart. Now, before I do this, I must say I feel a little uncomfortable. I feel like if I have died and I am reaching you from the beyond. The sound is not yet very satisfactory. Maybe it needs to be a little louder, I feel, because the wind is also there. And we need to put a little bit more volume to the sound so that it is not so blechern. I don't know in English, but yes, this is good. So now we need to see that we can do something to Stavavali's voice, some cosmetic, electrical cosmetic. Please say something. Yes, it sounds much, much more wholesome and much more deeper. I wanted to start with in Goloka Vrindavan, but in the last moment I got sidetracked and decided to tell you one lesson of devotion from one of the oldest devotees in the history of Vaishnavism here on this planet. I would like to talk a little bit about the Alvas. Alva means literally those who are drowning in ecstatic love of God. Wouldn't it be nice if one day you could sign your letters, Krishna Das, I'm still drowning in the ocean of love. This is what Alva means, drowning in the ecstatic ocean of love of Godhead. we hear the story of King Kulashika Alva. We will get such a wonderful insight into what it means to be Avishta in Krishna consciousness. Avishta in Krishna consciousness is the most important quality you should aim for, that is to be deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In the past, I have given some lectures about that we all need to die our consciousness. No, not umereti. Die means to color. Now our consciousness has the color of the material energy, because we see, hear, smell and perceive through all our senses only material energy. Through the process of Krishna consciousness, we wish to slowly expose our senses to spiritual impressions, and in this way color our consciousness deep blue, that is Krishna colored. This cloth once was a white cloth until I believe Gaurahari took it and put it into a saffron pot with saffron color, and after he had taken it out, it took on the saffron color. In the same way, we all wish to bring our consciousness, which is like a piece of cloth, in contact with Lord Krishna as much as possible, so that our consciousness will be colored Krishna-like. We really will be Krishna. My dear devotees, if your mind is not in Krishna consciousness, your prasadam eating and hari hari bowl will be a temporary fashion. You have to bring the mind to Krishna consciousness with the and turn it or color it or dye it in Krishna consciousness with Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the easiest or best help for this project to dye our consciousness is to follow the example of great devotees, either of ancient great devotees, this means very old ones, or more modern ones like Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur, etc. These are modern devotees. In the old times, the South India was divided into three kingdoms, which were ruled by the Kola dynasty, the Pandya dynasty, and the Chera dynasty. Now, the Chera dynasty had its seat in Trivandrum, a holy place, and all the kings of this dynasty considered themselves devotees and servants of Lord Ananta Padmanabha. That's the name of Lord Krishna in his deity form in Trivandrum. They were very, very good kings. And one of these kings was called Tivravrata. Tivravrata was a very good king, but he had one serious problem, and this problem was that he remained childless. He couldn't get a son and also not a daughter, and remained very unhappy for that, because Tivravrata, unlike modern politicians, didn't want to remain on the throne until he would become old and die like Tito. Tivravrata wanted to give his kingdom when he was still strong to his oldest son, and then retire to the forest for deep spiritual life. I think you can imagine that if you are a king, you have to deal with so much politics and so much disturbances. Now we have heard that there is some disturbance in our Bosnian Yatra, some unfortunate developments, and some devotees are concerned and are deeply worried. How will this be solved, this childlike problem? This is very distracting. Politics is very distracting for spiritual life. Now please, my dear devotees, imagine a king. All he sees from morning till evenings are politics, and not child politics, but real intense, you know, with war and weapons. We Hare Krishnas make child politics, but the Kamis, you know, really with atom bombs and everything. Ooh, we are beginners in comparison. It's not so bad. It's not a problem. We'll go. But imagine Tivra Vrata, you know, having to deal with this king wants to come and attack our kingdom and you know, plunder the treasury of the deities. And, oh my God, I have to get my sword ready and maybe try some political movements and, you know, some strategy and so on. So Tivra Vrata was very, very disturbed that he did not have a son. So he most probably had to die with politics. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. He was very, very disturbed. And one day he just prayed so much to the deity. He cried and said, "My dear Lord, if you don't send me a worthy son who can be the king, what will I do? I will die with politics in my mind." So because he was such a good devotee, the Lord decided to send him a very great devotee. This devotee came directly from his heart. His name would be Kulashikar, and he was a partial incarnation of the Kostuba Mani of the Lord. Who of you knows what is the Kostuba Mani? Not so many. Kostuba is a jewel which has the shape of a little calf. It's red, and the Lord wears it here directly under his heart. This jewel is always dangling, dangle, dangle, dangle on the heart of the Lord. It's a very special, very powerful heart jewel. So this jewel was sent. Obviously, you must know, everything around Krishna is a conscious living entity. Also, the jewel is a living person. It is said in the spiritual world that even the rice is conscious. The rice, when Krishna has eaten the rice becomes sad. It thinks, "Now my service has stopped. I'm already in the stomach of the Lord. But I want to do more service." So then in some spiritual way, the rice again manifests in the pot so that it can be cooked again to do some more service to the Lord, to satisfy him again. The rice and everything is a conscious living entity, and so is the jewel. So when Tivra Vrata saw his son, he cried, and he took personally care to train him in warfare, taxation, social division, you know, politics, huh? And trained him to become the next king. And when Kula Shika was of age, Tivavrata went, Tovijanya, I'm going to the Shumi. You take care of the kingdom. And he left. So many of you want to be kings. Tivavrata said, Dovijenya, kingdom. I don't know if any one of you wants to become a king, but a little rich would be all right. King Kula Shika began to take his new service very, very serious, and he ruled so well that all the three dynasties came into one dynasty. In other words, there were no longer three kingdoms, but only one kingdom, which was ruled by him. He became very much absorbed in politics, in ruling, so much so that he finally compromised his own spiritual life. Now, whenever a devotee, this is here the first lesson, compromises his or her spiritual life, Krishna will make an arrangement to wake him up. May I know who of you has experienced this in his or her own personal life? You may develop, for instance, a disease. And you may think, wow, I have to be more serious. Maybe I will not live after this. Or you may make such a terrible mistake which shocks you and others. And then you think, I have to be more sincere now. Or some relationship which is meaningful to you, by the Lord's arrangement, might turn sour. And you think, look at me, I'm such a rascal. I can't really deal with anyone. So, in the case of King Kula Shika, the Lord made his favorite arrangement to wake a devotee up. The favorite arrangement of the Lord to wake a devotee up is to send him another devotee. I want to really tell you from the experience of Shastra that in the Bhagavatam we find so many examples of how Krishna sends a dear devotee to wake a devotee up. For instance, Maharaj Chitraketu, who lamented because he had lost his son. Remember how the two saints came, who were Angira and Narada Muni. In fact, Narada Muni is very often sent by Krishna to wake devotees up. If you are a true disciple, you will find out that Krishna, most of the time, uses your spiritual master to wake you up from a compromised spiritual life. But he only wakes you up if you care to hear him. So Krishna, in this case, sent Vishvakshena, that is the arranger of the Vaikuntha worlds. Vishvakshena is a little bit like Vrindadevi in Vrindavan, who makes constant arrangements for the devotees, or like Yogamaya. So Vishvakshena is like said like a general. And one day, he came to Kula Shikar. the servant said, Maharaj, there is a devotee outside who says he wants to see you. Kula Shika said, tell him to come back tomorrow, please. I'm a little busy today. So the servant came back. Come back tomorrow, Vishvaksena said. If I don't see your king immediately, he will never see me and he will cry. Servant went. Well, the sadhu says he wants to really see you, Maharaj. He says, if you don't receive him today, he will walk away. Ah, Kulashika. He felt already. Maybe something is coming my way. So he received the sadhu, and the sadhu, Vishvaksena, immediately said, you ride on an elephant. You have a big crown on your head. But who is ruling the kingdom? You or the Lord? Don't be so proud. Kulashika was shattered. And only this little word woke him up. It is described by Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha. He asked the question, who will be wakened up by the word of Shastra? And he gives the answer, a person will be awakened by the words of Shastra who is not very diverted with material sense gratification. When a devotee who is not very much involved in sense gratification reads a book like the Bhagavad Gita, immediately it will do something in his heart and he will feel motivated, strengthened and enthusiastic. But someone, a devotee who has made many compromises in his life, when he reads the words of Shastra, it will not actually ignite his enthusiasm immediately. He needs a stronger dose. I think in preaching you have seen, sometimes there are devotees who just come to one program, listen to the lecture, and immediately their whole life changes and they become devotees. I talked today to such a devotee from Split, a Splitjanan. This devotee, there was trouble in the office. The two bosses were fighting with each other. You know, politics, everyone likes it. And they're fighting with each other. Then one boss ran away and she had to run behind the boss to somehow mediate, to make some mediation. And on the way, she saw a post at the Hare Krishna festival, came to the festival, thought this is much better than running behind bosses. Then heard the program, saw the program, and immediately decided to wake up and become a devotee. I think some of you are in the same category. You got a Bhagavad Gita, or you saw devotees, and immediately it did something to you. You woke up and started to become enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. This means, according to Jiva Goswami, that you most properly had already some sanskaras, some previous spiritual impressions, and you just needed to follow upon these impressions. Let us take care, my dear devotees, that we don't, in the name of Krishna consciousness, become dull and covered again, so that we don't respond to preaching and to the sacred teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Kulashika heard only this one or two sentences, and he immediately wanted to escape his kingdom and go to Srirangam, where he wanted to do service. Now his ministers understood he's such a good king that they decided we must do something to keep him in office. And the trick they decided for is they gathered sadhus or devotees around him who would give the king association and inspiration. So Ula Shikhar heard from these devotees daily the recitation of the Ramayana. This was done often in royal courts. One would hear every day sacred scripture, Narayan, the Ramayana. And once he heard how the lecturer, the reader, was reading about how Ram and Lakshman and Sita went into the forest because they were banished. He heard how the sister of Ravana saw Lord Rama's very beautiful, soft body and desired him and his company. And he heard how Rama rejected her and how Sopanak was so much hurt in her womanly pride that she thought, Sita is between me and Rama and Lakshman. I must kill her. So Sopanak jumped on Sita with her claws and wanted to rip her apart when Ram quickly said to Lakshman, stop her. And Lakshman took his sword. You know, this is perfect swordman. He cut her nose, clack, and her two ears, peng peng. Three, shup, shup, shup. This was a surgical operation. Sopanak became, cried in pain and ran to the outpost of the demons and informed Kara and Dushasan to please revenge her. And Kara, and I think his name was Dushasan, or Dushan is a Yugoslavian name. Dushan was there? No, Dushan, not Dushan. Dushan is a Yugoslavian name, no? Yeah, it's an ugly demon, you know. And they mobilized a force of 14,000 soldiers and marched against Ram. So the sadhu kept on reading. Ram heard that 14,000 well-armed demons came towards him to slaughter him. He immediately ordered Lakshman, take Sita into the cave and guard her. No matter what happens, you must guard the entrance of the cave. And then Ram went before the cave and waited for the demons to come. First the sky became very dark. Then all kinds of vultures and wolves came. And Ram waited. The earth began to shock. The demon army was approaching. Now when Kula Shikhar heard this, he became agitated. Ram, alone, is waiting for 14,000 demons. He saw the scene before his eyes. Finally, he couldn't contain himself. He jumped up on his feet, ran to where his army was and said, men, get on the horses. We are riding and helping Ram. Follow me. The generals looked at him. Maharaj, this is Ramayana. It's a book. You cowards, don't leave your king alone. I will march alone. Come, take your arms. We will help Ram. Shri Ramachandra ki jai. So he went like this, and the generals couldn't say no. You know, they had to follow the king. So they all galloped toward, this was 1,000 miles, my dear devotees. Come, Ram, we are coming. Come, said Kudashika. Finally, the generals had an idea, and they sent very fast riders. They overtook Kulashika and came from the other direction and said, King, King, good news. Stop. So Kulashika stopped his horse. What is it? Ram has single-handedly killed all the 14,000 demons. The war is over. No need to march. We can go back to the kingdom. Hari Bol. Kulashika went back. Was very happy. And he arranged his kingdom that every day was a festival. This king was so Krishna conscious that he arranged Sankirtan festivals all over the country. Free prasadam distribution, narration of Krishna's pastimes. But his ministers were worried. What if the Ramayana reader would again come to such a point in the book? So they told the readers, whoever read, only read happy news, not problematic news. So one day the Brahmana, who was supposed to do the readings, was ill or he had to do something else. So he sent his son. And the son did the reading, and he came to this part of the Ramayana where Lord Ramachandra has arrived at the southern tip of South India and prepares to build a bridge with stones over the Indian Ocean in order to march over the bridge against Ravan. Ravan has kidnapped Sita, his dear wife, and Kulashika had heard this. He had heard how Ravan, by a trick, had taken the dear wife of Rama and was flying with Sita on an aerial chariot to Lanka. And he had heard how Jatayu, the good Jatayu, had come and tried to stop Ravan. Jatayu had attacked Ravan and had taken with his claws big pieces of muscle and meat out of his back. Jatayu again attacked. Ram. Sita said, don't fight with him. Just wait here and tell Ram that I am in Lanka. I am kidnapped by Ravan. But Jatayu did not want to wait. He said, I better die in service than wait in safety. So he had again attacked Ravan, and this time Ravan just took his sword and just cut his wings. Shup, shup, cut his claws, and Jatayu was dying in his own blood. When Ram came and found him, he said, Jatayu. Jatayu cried and said, my dear Lord, I could not prevent Ravan from kidnapping Sita. But I can tell you, he took her to Lanka. Please take back Sita. She is so unhappy. Then Jatayu had said to Ravan, I failed you. I did try to do my service, but I was without success. Ram took the head of Jatayu in his lap and said, my dear devotee, success and failure are not important in devotional service. Important is that one does his service with devotion. Yes. So, our Ram had heard Kula Shikha had heard all this, and now he felt so much anger against Ravan that again he ran to all his army and said, Rama needs us. He prepares his attack on Lanka to take back Sita. Come with me. Then he said to his general, why do you look at me? Jump on your horses. Ram, we are coming. And with great strength, Kula Shikha ran or marched towards Lanka. Then the ocean came and he jumped from his horse. He ran into the water, fully armed. Ram, I'm coming. He went up to his knees. Ram, I'm coming. He went up to his hip. Ram, I'm coming. He went up to here. Finally, he walked through the water, and one could only see the sword and some bubble. Ram. And then he started to drown. He couldn't swim. He had his armor, iron, heavy iron and metal. His generals saw him. He was drowning in the ocean and he was already far out. They wanted to try to save him, but he was so ecstatic. It said when the Lord sees that his devotee gets in trouble, then the Lord solves the trouble. Kula Shikha could see a boat which came over the ocean. And the boat was Ram, Lakshman and Sita. And the boat came to where Kula Shikha was drowning. And Ram took him on his arms and carried him out of the ocean and put him on the beach. I think you all remember how Srila Prabhupada told that also he was drowning as he came to the West. He had a heart attack. He was drowning in a heart attack. And I think you remember how Krishna came also with a boat to save him from the ocean. The Lord always comes. I have a picture here where the pujari is drowning. Would you like to see it? It's a really moving picture. I hope I... Oh, a moment. Ah, yeah. While I'm talking, you can pass this photo around, and I will measure your honesty by whether the photo comes back in my hand after the lecture or not. Wherever the photo is after the lecture, that person, please give it to me. Huh? I will say, I want my photo back, and then you must come. You will see here Lord Narsingadev and water up to his chest. And you will see a pujari coming out of the water. He's drowning and offering the flower to Lord Narsingadev. It's really moving. Just look briefly and just pass it. So, Lord Rama... no need to laugh, just look and smile, huh? Yes. Lord Rama has said that he would take care of his devotees. Please repeat, sing with me the Sanskrit verse. Sakrit eva prapanoyas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam savada tasmai dadam yetat vratam mama. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me and says, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours. And if he prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person. And he will always remain safe from that time on. See, this is Krishna's promise. When he sees you wish to surrender, but you may be a little bit afraid, you may feel, oh, the surrender means to jump over my shadow, but my shadow is very large. If you go sincerely before the deities and say, my dear Lord, from this day on, I'm yours, but please give me courage so that I can follow my path, then transformation is possible. Many devotees have asked me, Sachinandan Swami, I don't make any advancement. Do you know why? Because you don't want. If you want to make an advancement, you will go before the Lord and you will collect all your thoughts, all your desires, all your motives, and like light which becomes concentrated in a laser beam, you will take all what you have and put it into this one prayer. Please, my dear Lord, please help me. I'm trying, but I'm failing. I need now your mercy. Then, if you come in this mood, change is possible. This is what the Lord says. So Kulashika survived. But the ministers saw a sincere problem. What if our king always mobilizes the army? He's so much avishta, or that's a Bengali word, avesha would be a Sanskrit word, you know, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We must get rid of the sadhus because they are a bad influence on him. They make him spaced out. So the ministers decided to steal the jewel ornament of the deity which Kulashika worshipped every day. It was a Krishna deity. And when Kulashika in the morning tried to put the ornaments, they were not there. So he went to the ministers and said, who took the necklace? The minister said, there are only a few persons who could steal this. It's the Vaishnavas who have the key to the deity room. It must have been the devotees who stole the necklace. So when Kulashika heard that his ministers said that the devotees had stolen what was belonging to Krishna, Kulashika became so sad and so angry that he said, it is not possible that Vaishnavas steal. If the Vaishnavas have stolen the necklace of Krishna, then I shall die today. Bring me a cobra inside a clay pot. So the king asked everyone in the court. He said, there is a cobra inside the clay pot. If the Vaishnavas have stolen, then the cobra will bite me now. And he put his hand into the clay pot. Everyone went, oh, no, 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 no. You know, cobras are so dangerous. Jayapataka Maharaj once said that, told me that in the British times, when they built the railway through India, one British worker, came upon an egg of a cobra, and the little cobra was just coming out. So the worker went like, and the mother cobra jumped at him, bit him here at the eyelid, and immediately he died. This is how poisonous these animals are, and how angry, how easily they can become angry. So the cobra was inside. Kulashikar came inside, and the Lord protected Kulashikar and the Vaishnavas from defamation. Kulashikar took his arm out, and there was the cobra around, spitting fire. But it didn't eat or bite King Kulashikar. So King Kulashikar was so very, very sad that he forgave his ministers, but he thought, I don't want to be part of this any longer. His son was also Tivaravrata. He gave him the same name as his father. He crowned him quickly, and together with his daughter, he went to Sri Rangam, where he lived simply in the service of the Lord. He helped build this temple to the end, and when the temple was finished, he asked the stonemason, what is the Zidare? Zida, yes, the Zida, to put in the threshold, or the step which leads into the temple, to carve a devotee who lies there in full obeisances. This devotee is him, Kulashikar. Everyone who steps over that temple threshold, he will step over Kulashikar. Kulashikar wants this so that the dust from the feet of the pilgrims come on his head. This is how Krishna conscious he is. How much he wants to be blessed by the devotees of the Lord. King Kulashikar, and I will end with this today, wrote a very nice book, Mukunda Mala Stava, and within Mukunda Mala Stava, he wrote a poem which was often recited by Srila Prabhupada. I have been in the very blessed by Srila Prabhupada. I could a few times sit before his door when he visited Germany, and take care that there was no noise before the door. So Prabhupada, when he was alone, would take a harmonium, and very often he would sing this song, which I want to sing for you in a moment. You would hear through the doors how Prabhupada would be absorbed in the prayer of King Kulashikar. It was always very moving for us. One day I was sat there, and I heard him singing, and Prabhupada then came out of the room. I think he noticed me, but he didn't, he was in his own thoughts. And he came by, and he was just very much absorbed. His face was very grave. His eyes were full of love. He looked just briefly at me, then walked by. Then I was still sitting there when he came. And he walked past me and I could see. Prabhupada was absorbed. If you asked me what I personally, what has personally touched me so much with Srila Prabhupada, it was really these moments when I saw him absorbed. Whatever Prabhupada did, he was very absorbed or concentrated. For instance, in preaching, he wouldn't stop. Even if people wanted to stop him, Prabhupada was very absorbed in singing. Sometimes when he sang, he lost himself in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. He was always fully there in what he did. And he liked this one song, which I want to sing for you. It's a song by Kula Shikhar. Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam Adyeva Me Vishatu Manaso Rajahansa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantavaro Danavido Smaranam Kutaste Krishna Tvodiya Padapankaja Panjarantam. O Lord Krishna, at this moment, let the royal swan of my mind enter the tangled stems of the lotus of your feet. This is a metaphor. You know, the swan is swimming. And then the prayer is, let him dive deep and play with the stem of Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, let me dive deep into remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And then he says, how will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death, when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile and air? To remember you, my Lord, is more important for me than my own life. This is the prayer of King Kula Shikhar. It's a wonderful prayer, and it forms the first of our sessions. Today I wanted to tell you about Krishna through the eyes of his devotee. There were a few lessons, that is, Krishna wakes us up, mostly through devotees, when we become a little compromised. Another lesson which we learned today is that Krishna has promised to help a devotee who seriously wants to surrender to him by saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours. And Krishna gives him the courage which is necessary. And the third lesson which we learned is how to be absorbed in thinking of Krishna is so important for a devotee, because this is what devotional life means. Do you? I think you all have heard about Gorkishodas Babaji. He is the initiating spiritual master of whom? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. When the chanting of Gorkishodas Babaji was such that he did not feel Krishna's presence, he would become so utterly helpless and frustrated that he would run into the Ganga to drown himself. Hare Krishna, I will drown myself! Krishna is not there! This is the life of the great devotees. My dear devotees, if you want to become alive in your spiritual life, you must learn to absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. You have seen when a young devotee or older devotee falls in love, he gets new perspectives in life, and becomes more inspired. I have seen this many times in Krishna consciousness, that if someone is in love, like in Radhadesh, I hear the whole temple is thinking about Lubov at the moment. It's a Lubov temple. Amor, amor has come to Belgium, finally. I'm joking. Hopefully they will continue to invite me if they hear this tape. You know, and you can see someone who gets this feeling, he becomes a little bit more alive. So if you want to become more alive in your Krishna consciousness, you must become more absorbed in Krishna. And the first step to become more absorbed is to become attentive. More attentive to Krishna. Try to see Him more in your life. Try to see Him here during the summer camp. Krishna. Oh, I forgot. I wanted to give you something which will help you, but I forgot it. I have a powerful dynamite medicine which will make you a pure devotee in one gulp. It's the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath from the Gundicha Mandir. You know, when Lord Jagannath goes one time in the year to Vrindavan, he escapes the goddess of Lakshmi and goes to Vrindavan, and I have prasadam from this. It's the most rarest prasadam in this universe, but I forgot it. I hope this will not be stolen in the night. But so it said that anyone who takes this will develop love of Godhead. I will tell you tomorrow the story. How. Okay, this was my first day, the day of Kula Shikar. Tomorrow we will learn a very, very nice... I want to read to you tomorrow Krishna's own words. Some of you might start crying tomorrow. It will be very moving because Lord Krishna addresses a doubt in many of His devotees tomorrow and tells us how we can understand that sometimes He seems to be not so present in our lives. How we can understand. I want to end now here. Do you have any questions so far? Govindanandam, please ask your question. What is the one quality in a devotee like Narada Muni that Krishna uses them so frequently to help devotees? I would like to answer this question a little bit on our level, because I think it would be nice if all of you could be used by Krishna to wake up devotees. Narada Muni is very difficult to understand. I understood that a great devotee like Lord Shiva, for instance, there is a shloka which says only one person can understand Lord Shiva, and that's Krishna. So, about Narada Muni, I also feel that it is a very difficult task to answer. But if you want to become an instrument in Krishna's service, you have to think about one thing, and that is your motivation. If you want to advance in any way in Krishna consciousness, that's where you have to look. Your motivation. Why do you want this? And if Krishna says, sees that there is a pure motivation, that a devotee really wants to only help, he will give him unlimited opportunities for service. But when a devotee when Krishna sees that the devotee may have a selfish motivation, then he cannot entrust or trust this devotee. Thank you very much, Govindanandan. Are there other questions? You are still thinking about what you have heard. Yes, Vasudeva, your question is there. Nikunya Rasa's question is there. I would like to request you, when you come into the classes, I thought this time I will have more time for questions and answers, because it is really a wonderful time when we can come together as devotees and discuss. So, Vasudev, please. Yes, please, say your question. This is only the warm-up class. It will go very deep, but I have to warm you up first, yes. Mm-hmm. We did all this. We prayed for help and courage, and yes, we became strong, but after some time, we again became weak. What to do? Vasudev Prabhu, Krishna consciousness is something like a loving relationship with Krishna. There is no formula really in a love relationship. There's only a constant endeavor to give one's best. And when Krishna sees this constant endeavor to give one's best, his heart becomes melted. Tomorrow we will hear a little bit about it, but here Krishna's words. When Krishna finally receives a devotee in the spiritual world, he will say, "Oh, my best devotee, many births you have performed austerities to attain me. For the sake of my service, you endured untold miseries such as cold, wind, hunger, thirst, and pain. You've done this for me. You maintained your life by begging. You tolerated, my dear devotee, you tolerated countless insults and abuses from other people. What can I give you in return for all your sacrifice? Nishtha! I have simply become your debtor. Let me tell you, although I'm unconquerable, today I have certainly been conquered by you." And then Krishna says, "Now I am taking shelter of your excellent character and gentle conduct." This is how Krishna feels in relationship to his devotees. "Look, you have done such nice service, Vasudev, Sankirtan service." Also, I remember the devotees who were preaching so nicely in Bosnia, who are preaching, and I'm thinking of the times when the Bosnian Yatra started, and Veera Chandra was there, and all the boys from the Pregrade temple, and they came, and some houses were attacked by bombs and everything, and they distributed. And you know how Krishna thinks about such devotees. He says, "You suffered so much for me. I cannot give you anything in return. All glories to your good qualities." Krishna says about his devotees. I think sometimes we are a little harsh to ourselves. We are a little bit super critical. Krishna is more thankful, more grateful. There is, in the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna, one is his quality of gratefulness. That means he can never, ever forget any little service which anyone has ever done for him. Krishna cannot forget. This is his character, his quality. So I want to encourage you today. Yes, what to do? On our spiritual journey, we sometimes go left and right, up and down, and everything. But Krishna is very satisfied. Very satisfied. Any little thing. We just can't jump over our lessons. We have to slowly be purified, you know, what to do. This is natural. Nikunya Rasa. Something for the ears, yes. Nikunya Rasa's repeated that I said that when we come into a compromised area of our spiritual life, Krishna sends devotees, often our spiritual master, to wake us up if we care to hear, if we care to look his way. Sometimes we are very deaf. See, our attachments make us deaf. This is, you know, the brown substance in the ear. Attachments. We want things to be our way or happen our way and do not notice sometimes, that our attachments are really our worstest enemies, really. We don't notice that. But also then, you know, when the spiritual, our spiritual helpers, spiritual master, devotees, seem to not be able to reach our ear, Krishna then makes some other situation for a truthful devotee. He brings the situation, he brings the devotee often in a situation where he has to wake up by sending him some misery. And the devotee at that time understands, my dear Lord, I don't want to suffer. Thank you for giving me a little of my karma now. And in this way, waking me up. There's this verse, Tatenu kampam susumikshamana bunyana evatma kritam vipakam, and so on, which is a guideline for devotional life in this world, which says that Krishna sends a little token of the karma, a little piece of the karma, to wake the devotees up. And then the devotee again glorifies with body, mind, and words, like before, the Supreme Lord. Also Nikunya Rasa and all others who are concerned about this question. Sometimes it may also be necessary for us to go through certain experiences to learn in this way. That is also in the plan of Krishna. Krishna's classrooms are all very fair and just. So we have now 5 minutes past seven. Is my wristwatch correct? I would like to just make one organizational point. It would be very, very kind of you if you could come on time every summer camp. You are so kind to come to these lectures, and I feel very honored and very moved to be able to serve you. Kindly allow me to remind you to be a little bit on time. Rudy will always put a few minutes before we start the song Hare Krishna, Lilililil Krishna, Hare Krishna. This will be our melody. So when you are then still in the bathroom, you have to put some Brezino in your bathroom activities. Or if you are in the atria, you have to quickly jump away from the sharks. And please come on time. We want to start on time and end on time. Let me now make two other organizational things. Is Diramati here? Diramati, could you be so kind to put a box together, you know, a question and answer box again? And then place it here, maybe. I want to request you, we want to have a very lively question and answer session on Thursday morning instead of the Bhagavatam class, so that we have a little time. It would be nice if the questions which come up during the seminar, you can put the questions together. Okay. This is all what I wanted to say. Thank you once again. I wish you a very nice summer camp. May you be blessed with many realizations. And please don't forget to swim. Gaurahari and myself went today, and we were very delighted to do a little physical exercise. It's good for you. Then you can be fresh to get many Krishna conscious subjects and be fully attentive. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki, Gaur Premanandi. And I need my picture back of Lord Narsingadev. It's now your time to be honest.